Test.
Check this out.
Ranger.
Autonomous Action Radio, a multimedia radio show, a website, an idea, a suggestion, an action plan.
We're 90% metaphor, with a leanness of meaning approaching hyperdistillation. And once upon a time, we were moonshine, rushing down the throat of a giraffe. Yes, rushing down the long hall, despite what the PA announcement says. Yes, rushing down the long hall, down the long stairs in a building so tall that it will always be there. It's part of a pair. There on the bow of Noah's Ark, the most prestigious couple just kicking back, parked against a perfectly blue sky, on a morning beatific in its Indian summer breeze, on the day that America fell to its knees, after strutting around for a century without saying thank you or please. And the shock was subsonic, and the smoke was deafening between the setup and the punchline, because we were all on time for work that day. We all boarded that plane for it to fly, and then while the fires were raging, we all climbed up on the windowsill, and then we all held hands and jumped into the sky. And every burrow looked up when it heard the first blast, and then every dumb action movie was summarily surpassed, and the exodus uptown by foot and motor car looked more like war than anything I've seen so far. So far. So far. So far. So fierce and ingenious, a poetic specter so far gone that every jackass newscaster was struck dumb and stumbling over, oh my God, and this is unbelievable, and on and on. And I'll tell you what, while we're at it, you can keep the Pentagon, you can keep the propaganda, you can keep each and every TV that's been trying to convince me to participate in some prep school punk's plan to perpetuate retribution. Perpetuate retribution. Even as the blue toxic smoke of our lesson in retribution is still hanging in the air, and there's ash on our shoes. And there's ash in our hair. And there's a fine silt on every mantle from Hell's Kitchen to Brooklyn. And the streets are full of stories, sudden twists and near misses. And soon every open bar is crammed to the rafters with tales of narrowly averted disasters. And the whiskey is flowing like never before, as all over the country, folks just shake their heads and pour. So here's a toast to all the folks that live in Palestine, Afghanistan, Iraq, El Salvador. Here's a toast to all the folks living on the Pine Ridge Reservation, under the stone-cold gaze of Mount Rushmore. Here's a toast to all those nurses and doctors who daily provide women with a choice, who stand down a threat the size of Oklahoma City just to listen to a young woman's voice. Here's a toast to all those folks on death row right now, awaiting the executioner's guillotine, who are shackled there with dread and can only escape into their heads to find peace in the form of a dream. Peace in the form of a dream. Peace in the form of a dream. PlayStations, and we are a third world nation under the thumb of some blue blood royal son who stole the Oval Office and that phony election. I mean, it don't take a weatherman to look around and see the weather. Jeb said he'd deliver Florida, folks, and boy did he ever. And we hold these truths to be self-evident. Number one, George W. Bush is not president. Number two, is not a true democracy. And number three, the media is not fooling me, 'cause I am a poem heeding hyperdistillation, and I've got no room for a lie so verbose.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm looking out over my whole human family, and I'm raising my glass in a toast. Here's to our last drink of fossil fuels. May we vow to get off of this sauce. Computer planes, find that train ticket we lost. 'Cause once upon a time, the line followed the river and peeked into all the backyards. And the laundry was waving and the graffiti was teasing us from brick walls and bridges. We were rolling over ridges through valleys under stars. I dream of touring like Duke Ellington in my own railroad car. Yeah. Tall blonde wooden benches in a grand station aglow with grace, and then standing out on the platform and feeling the air on my face. Give back the night its distant whistle, give the darkness back its soul, give the big oil companies the finger finally, and relearn how to rock and roll. Yes, the lessons are all around us, and the truth is waiting there. It's time to pick through the rubble, clean the streets, and clear the air. Get our government to pull its big dick out of the sand of someone else's desert. Put it back in his pants. Quit the hypocritical chants of freedom forever. 'Cause when one lone phone rang in 2001 at 10 after 9 on 911, which was the number we all call when that lone phone rang right off the wall, right off our desk and down the long hall, down the long stairs in a building so tall that the whole world turned just to watch it fall. First time around, the bomb, the rider truck, the parking garage, the princess that didn't even feel the pee. Remember joking around in our apartment on Avenue D? Can you imagine how many paper coffee cups would have to change their design following a fantastical reversal of the New York skyline? It was a joke at the time. And that was just a few years ago, so let the record show that the FBI was all over that case, that the plot was obvious and in everybody's face. And scoping that scene religiously, the CIA, or is it KGB, committing countless crimes against humanity with this kind of eventuality as its excuse for abuse after expensive abuse, and they didn't have a clue. Look, another window to see through. Way up here on 104th floor, look, another key, another door. 10% literal, 90% metaphor. 3,000 some poems disguised as people on an almost too perfect day. Must be more than pawns in some asshole's pen. passion play. So now it's your job, and it's my job to make it that way, to make sure they didn't die in vain. Shh, baby, listen. Hear the train.
My name is Linda, and today I am joined by Murray.
Hello.
For a special show we've put together in tribute to a man called Michael Rupert. And Murray's going to explain to us who Michael Rupert is.
Interesting fellow. I came across his name and a bit of his work, when I first came across the ideas around peak oil. But his career, is quite interesting. He started as a police detective in Los Angeles, I believe, and kind of got mixed up with the CIA trying to import drugs into the country, and he blew the whistle on that, and that was his, initial rise to prominence. And since then, he's kind of been an investigative journalist and a author, and, he's toured around doing lectures and... a lot of stuff to do with involvement of the government, US government in nasty stuff, and then kind of progressing to peak oil, collapse, and I guess just to round it off, in his final weeks and months, he was focusing more and more on Fukushima and the fallout from that, and also on the ideas of Guy McPherson, who is a conservation biologist, who's kind of, taking a dissenting view from the IPCC on what the, near-term implications of climate change are.
And the first song we heard today was Arnie DeFranco. Do you want to explain why we played that one?
Oh, yeah. So one of the bits of his work that I left out is that he did a lot of investigating to do with, the September 11, was it 2001?
Yes.
World Trade Center attacks, and, he was very much of the view that that was, the US government was in on that, was colluding, if not, making it happen, and, that's not really something I've looked a whole lot into myself, but I just thought it would be good to kind of, take a trip back in memory lane, and that song's so evocative, and it's, such a clearly kind of critical look at what happened subsequently.
And we're going to play some clips from his show, which was called The Lifeboat Hour. It was a one-hour radio show on the Progressive Radio Network. And also I've got some clips from a documentary about him, which was called Collapse, and which was produced by the people who are behind The Yes Men, and it came out in 2009. It is 15 minutes after 12 o'clock. We're going to hear now a caller who called in to his show, or the show he did, The Lifeboat Hour. A woman called Caroline Baker is going to continue the show. She was a regular host, co-host of the show, and she's going to continue the show. And the week after his death, she invited people to call in and talk about Michael's effect on them. And so we've got this now, and it sort of gives an introduction about what he was about.
We have Elaine on the line.
Hello.
Hi, Elaine.
Hi. I can barely hear you, Carolyn.
Well, I don't know what to do about that. I can shout. Does
can
that
you
help?
Hear me?
Can you hear me?
I can barely hear you, but if you can hear me, I'll just go ahead and say what I want to say.
Yes, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you for your work. My husband and I have been following both of you when you were writing for Mike, and I'm assuming it was from the wilderness, and I remember you writing The Last Samurai.
Yes.
With his leaving in Ashland.
Yes.
And I remember being in a CD store and picking up Don Henley's Inside Job, and I remember listening to it. And after reading The Last Samurai, what you wrote so beautifully. And I cried that day.
Yes.
And I'm crying today, and I'm sorry.
But, we need to not apologize for
crying.
We need to celebrate it.
Okay. embrace it.
Yeah.
I just want to say that my husband started following him probably in 2002, 2003, started reading From the Wilderness. And in 2005, Mike was at the McDonald Theater in Eugene, and Oregon. And, you know, I was really struggling with the whole, I don't know if you want to call it collapse, but reading about peak oil and reading just about our the future dilemma. And my husband said, I think we need to go see this man. And, of course, he knew who Mike was at that time, but I had always thought my husband was just a pessimist. And I have two daughters who I was trying to keep the balance between my husband and my daughters. And, you know, because Dad was a pessimist and, you know, he wasn't seen as the realist. And anyways, I went to see him and he captivated me. I have no other word to use. His confidence, his passion, the way he just paced the stage, his body language. I had nothing but belief. It sounds really strange, but it was like, you know, here was a man giving me all the facts.
Right.
He laid them out.
Right.
I mean, every scenario, it was, you know, it was all peak oil. It was government fraud. It was corporation power. I mean, he just laid it out. And I walked out of there, and it changed my life. I started reading everything I could get my hands on. I felt like I was lied to. I felt betrayed. I can't even put into words what he did for me. And I called into the Lifeboat Hour when Guy McPherson and him were doing a show, because both of them have done wonderful work just like you. And I thanked them then. And last Sunday, my husband tried to get on. He actually tried to bring the program up online and couldn't bring it up. And I just feel really bad that he was, you know, calling out for people to call in. And had I known that, I would have called in. I don't think it probably would have changed anything. But any time that man asked for something, he deserved it.
Yeah.
And I don't know what else to say but to thank him and for everyone that's doing the best job they can do to wake people up today. I don't think it's going to matter, but I can't see it hurting.
Well,
I think we
so
need
much.
All the love and compassion we can get today.
Thanks, Elaine. I really appreciate your calling in.
You just heard a person who was speaking during the tribute show to Michael Rupert, which was on his show called The Lifeboat Hour, and you can find that at Podbean. We're going to hear a song now from Michael Rupert's band, one of his bands. It's called New White Trash. The band is called New White Trash, and the song is called Inner Reach, and this was the theme song, the first song that you hear during the Lifeboat Hour. You're on 4ZZZ 102.1 FM. This is the Anarchy Show, and today we're doing a tribute to a man called Michael Rupert, who talked a lot about peak oil and economic and environmental collapse.
The street lights around me, in the wall-to-wall prison of my city, flickering dirty neon over alleys mean and dirty streets, while my neighborhood is torn down around me.
Too many people on the zombie streets, and the sirens make an eerie sound around me. Makes me cold, makes me hot, makes me freeze. And it's getting hard in the inner reach. Ever strange beneath the streets, all around where all the light waves meet,
where all the light waves meet and dance in secret.
Kids with toys haunt the hallways, stuffing secrets up my sleeve. And the only country club around here is the cold cement under my feet. Most days I feel like a drowning man in a sea of drunken thieves. While this world goes on in a whirl around me, people look before they speak. And it's getting hard in the inner reach. Ever strange beneath the streets, all around where all the light waves meet,
where all the light waves meet and dance in secret.
Enter into the age of authority.
We enter into the age of authority.
When the explanations don't explain and the conclusions don't conclude, when answers don't answer and questions don't matter, when everything has gone so rude, well, the stars incline but don't insist, everything is done in a dancing twist. All around where all the light waves meet and dance, and it's getting hard in the inner reach, ever strange beneath the streets, all around where all the light waves.
They enter into the age of authority. They enter into the age of authority.
There is one and only one graph image that I have used. And I would guess 60 to 70 lectures in 8 countries. And that's a graph of human population. And if one looks at that graph, what you see is human population roughly stable at around 1 billion people or so. Maybe a little bit more at around the time of Christ. And it stays pretty stable until we get to the bubonic. It starts to rise some as some primitive technology emerged, but then you get to the bubonic plague, there's a little dip. Then after the bubonic plague, you begin the start of what we would call the Renaissance and the early stages of the Industrial Revolution, the discovery of steam. The population starts to go like this. The introduction of coal, the population starts to go like this. But around 1900, around the turn of the 20th century, what you see as oil became ubiquitous was that the population went like this. And it goes up to 6.5 billion people. We may be at 7 billion people by the time anyone sees this interview. All of those people exist on this planet only because of oil. That's it. So it's axiomatic that if you take the oil away, the population must go away also. In all of science, in all of biology, there is no case where any population, be it bacteria in a petri dish or caribou in an Arctic island, runs into a set of favorable circumstances and goes to that point without an immediate crash down. It's a law. It's a law as fundamental as gravity. It's a law as fundamental as thermodynamics. And if one thinks about it, it might also be viewed as true of the stock market or the financial markets, which go like this. And when they go like this, they automatically go like this. That's the history of every bubble. I think it's a mistake to ask if people and make all people the same as one entity, if they will understand it. I don't care if all people understand it. When you're faced with an overwhelming life-threatening crisis, as in the Titanic being hit by an iceberg, and you happen to be aware before anybody else is that the ship is going to sink and there aren't enough lifeboats, and you know how to build lifeboats, and you try to deal with that in however long the Titanic had before it went down, you're likely to run across three types of passenger on the Titanic. You'll run across a type that's basically deer in the headlights. Ship's been hit. What does that mean? What do I do? I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. Should I do that? I don't know. That's one group. There's another group that says, we get that the ship's going to sink. We get that we're all going to die unless we make some lifeboats and do it fast. Show us what to do. And then you have a third group that says, this is the Titanic. It's absolutely unsinkable, unfucking sinkable. And so we're going back to the bar for a drink, and all you doomsday sayers can actually just take a hike. Now, if you're the one who knows how to build lifeboats, which group of people are you going to help?
Systems won't teach you. Your scientists will not document it. Your planet is at war. A way of life sustained by mechanized resource pillaging is killing you and everything around you. The machine culture is killing you. You do not believe it is real because you have been indoctrinated. Your base level understandings of human instinct have been infiltrated and rewired. You have been assimilated. You have been assimilated. You have been assimilated. Fundamental understandings of your humanity have been stripped from you. You exist within a society of product-based resource mongering, and you have been taught to think that this way of life is harmless and acceptable. You are a living organism, meant to be sustained by the living organic land base you exist upon. You are not meant to live in large numbers. You are not meant to live inside concrete. You are not meant to struggle for financial gain. Your planet is at war. Machine culture is killing you. The city you live in has destroyed the organic land base that you were meant to cohabitate. the plants and animals of this planet are under attack. You are an animal. You are an animal. You are under attack. The city you live in is killing you and all the people you love. The society you live within has created distractions of power and pleasure to disarm you. The machines are your enemy. You are being attacked by the machine of large-scale industrial progress. Your planet is at war.
You just heard from Resident Antihero and Your Planet is at War. It is 25 minutes to 1 o'clock and you're listening to The Anarchy Show on 4ZZZ. And it's Linda and Murray today doing a tribute to Michael Rupert. Murray.
Yeah, so Linda, you mentioned a few minutes ago Carolyn Baker, who worked with Michael on his radio show The Lifeboat Hour, and who is taking over hosting that show, following his death. Carolyn Baker, on the first episode of this show after his death, read out an email that was sent to her by Michael Rupert on the night he died, and it's a prayer. There was no introduction offered to it, so I'm just going to read that one now as it was sent to Carolyn. And I think it's a beautiful piece that really, you know, gives you an insight into who this man was at the end of his life. I pray to Mother Earth and Father Sky. I pray to the four winds and ask them to carry my prayer and the sounds of my heart to all things and all places. I pray to the two-leggeds, four-leggeds, the things that crawl, the things that fly, the things that swim. I pray to all things that grow in Mother Earth. I pray to stone people. I pray to the little people. I offer tobacco. I offer my flesh. I offer my life. I pray to all things seen and unseen, known and unknown, for we are all one. This is my final offering. I do it for the children so that they might live. There is no more time. May my offering release light and love into the darkness. Light a fire for me. Pray for me. The sun will rise. The sun will rise.
Thanks very much for that, Murray. And another thing I guess we should mention is that Michael Rupert did take his own life. And I think Murray and I are both people that have suffered depression, and a lot of people who are very, I guess, connected to the earth, I think, are suffering at this time because we understand what is happening to the planet. And if you are feeling depressed or low, there's some places that can help you, like Beyond Blue or the Salvation Army. And you can always present yourself at a mental health service as well.
Yeah, and Headspace for young people, I believe, is another sort of avenue to get information and support.
And we've been talking about the environment, and that prayer which Murray just read out gives some indication of the connection to the earth and also the drawing on indigenous cultures. And a lot of people who are sort of deep green spiritualists have a strong belief in the earth and that we are all connected, and draw a lot from indigenous cultures. And I'm going to play a clip now from a show which was done at the beginning of April, so it was probably his second or third last show, and he featured Guy McPherson, who Murray mentioned earlier, and also John Trudell, who's a Native American activist. And I'm going to play a clip now, which Michael introduces a poem by John Trudell, and it is drawing on nature and the strength that we can draw upon in through nature.
The first cut I want to play tonight is by our dear friend John Trudell, who you've heard many times on this show. It's a cut called Living in Reality, parentheses, Oklahoma Song. It's performed by John Trudell and Tribal Voices. If you don't know, John Trudell was a founding original member of the American Indian Movement, who was one of the most eloquent men I've ever seen. And in 1979, after he and AIM had taken some very bold and decisive actions, that's at the same time, 3 months after I left LAPD, when I was being followed and shot at, a very turbulent time in American history. His wife and children were burned to death on the reservation as punishment. And the FBI did that. They still do that. We are not surprised that this man has survived and evolved through the amazing fire that he has is an inspiration to all of us, especially me. But he carries a good message tonight. So let's hear from John Trudell, Living in Reality. Let's go.
The children laugh, the old ones laugh. The newborn cry, the elders weep. The knowledge of infants and elders, separated only by years. Adulthood lost to grown-up fear, the only security being insecurity, changing crying to weeping. The wisdom of infants and elders, crying and laughing, weeping and laughing. Songs in the beginning, sung in the end. Endure, the people cry out. Tears of anger, tears of sorrow, flowing, giving birth to resistance. Young ones to remember. Struggle, for the people cry out. Tears of happiness, tears of joy, washing the pain, cleaning the spirit, giving strength. The generations remembering the past to rebuild the future. For weeping is another way of laughing and resisting and outlasting the enemy. Living in reality, calling us Red Indians, we have been the colors on a chameleon's back, changing with time, altering the larger pattern, surviving genocide because we have to. Living in reality, we are targets of your unfairness. With warriors for targets, you create your own destruction. This is how we bring you down. Target by target, you wound yourself. Using your greed, we watch your spirit fade. Living in reality, we can endure your cages, your bullets, your lies, your confusion. We know you have destroyed your peace. Living in reality, you only exist. Diablo Canyon, today I challenge the nukes. The soldiers of the state placed me in captivity, or so they thought. They bound my wrist in their plastic handcuffs, surrounding me with their plastic minds and faces. They ridiculed me, but I could see through to the ridicule they brought on themselves. They told me, squat over there by the trash. They left a soldier to guard me. I was the Viet Cong. I was Crazy Horse. Little did they understand. Squatting down in the earth, they placed me with my power. My power to laugh, laugh at their righteous wrong. Their sneers and their taunts gave me clarity to see their powerlessness. It was in the way they dressed and in the way they acted. They viewed me as an enemy, a threat to their rationalizations. I felt pity for them, knowing they will never be free. I was their captain, but my heart was racing through the generations, the memories of eternity. I was beyond their reach. I would be brought to the internment camp to share my time with allies. The last time I saw them, they were standing in their 12-hour shifts, addicted to their chain of command, waiting to be told what to do, forgetting about me, thinking I was just another protester they were finished with. Never understanding, I am not finished with them, for I am the resistance, and as always, I will return. It took the times we didn't care about living to learn survivors survive whether they want or not. It took the pain, the grief, and the dying to remember what gets forgotten in the living. It took the lessons of 1,000 generations to get through the time of yesterday. It took the joyful songs of laughter to last beyond today into tomorrow. It took the fragrance of a woman's touch to realize brothers and sisters are never alone. It took the joining of earth and sky to create, centering the universe. For Ronald America, this time I almost wanted to believe you when you said it would be all right. You wanted to end the suffering, and the deliberateness of the wrongs were only in my imagination. This time I almost wanted to believe you when you implied the times of sorrow were buried in the past. Never would we have to worry about shadows and memories clinging and draining the strength from our souls. This time I almost wanted to believe you when you spoke of peace and love and caring and duty and God and destiny. But somehow the death in your eyes and your bombs and your taxes and your greed and your facelift told me, this time I cannot afford to believe you. Industrial slave, capitalist and communist imperialist, smiling with false faces, beckoning us with their lies about progress, wanting us to enjoy the rape of earth and our minds. Industrial slave, fork-tongued legalistic contract chains, turning our visions to technologic nightmares. National security war makers desecrating the natural world, and God still trying to get over what you done to his boy. Industrial slave, material bound, law and order, religious salvation, individually alone, industrial slave. Without earth, there is no heaven. Streets of gold, angels' wings, eternal life. Corporate Reich nuclear regimes maximizing profit, eating identities, plundering natural allies as though earth is dead. Allowing religious right collection plate tributes to church and state, with Christ still hanging from a cross, echoing industrial war cries, warring against body and soul, attacking spirit, lying to enslave with an illusion about freedom. Without earth, there is no heaven. Earth and sky, universal power, life energies, creative flow, in which we are a pattern to keep balance, harmony, a gift, an appreciation to enjoy. Honor life. Without earth, there is no heaven.
Linda, I just wanted to really briefly introduce the next song. It's called Big House by a band called Miriam's Well. And all I wanted to say is that the singer in this band is Mimi Gurman, who was on the Lifeboat Hour, interviewed by Michael Rupert a couple of times. And she has a website called radcast.org that is kind of documenting what's going on at Fukushima in ways that make it comprehensible to ordinary people, and also they are empowering people to make their own measurements of radiation levels, anywhere.
And after that, we're going to go straight into Michael Rupert in the movie Collapse, talking about money. So we've talked about the aspects of Michael Rupert, where he was talking about peak oil and ecological collapse, but the other side of that is also the economic collapse and the collapse of civilization.
Check this out.
Ranger.
You're listening to Autonomous Action Radio on 4ZZZ.
The people who have run the monetary paradigm, the economic paradigm, since money was first invented, have wanted to mystify it and to make everybody believe that only some expert could understand the mumbo-jumbo of the priesthood of money. Three things only anybody needs to know about the way money works around the world today. One, fiat currency. What is money? If I were to take a bill out of my wallet, and I reach in my wallet and I pull out this bill, it's $20. Wow. Okay. Can I eat it? Can I roll it up and chew it? Do I get calories and vitamins? No, I don't. Can I crumple it up, throw it in my gas tank? Is the car going to go anywhere? No, it's going to clog the fuel injectors, maybe. This is only a symbol. This doesn't mean anything. It's fiat. It's created out of thin air because somebody turned on a printing press. That's all it is. Before the great growth of population, which occurred with the advent of oil, came this revolution in the monetary system as well. There was a time when the pound sterling actually meant a pound of sterling silver. There was only so much silver out of the ground. It was tangible. You couldn't print silver. It was something real. You cannot print any more money than there is energy to back it up. That simple. So we have fiat currency. Then we have something called fractional reserve banking. If you were to bring me in a $10 deposit, I could make $90 worth of loans based on just having that $10 in my drawer, because it's all calculated on the premise that not everybody's going to come in and want their cash all at once. That's called a run on the bank. So they have calculated the odds, much as Vegas odds makers do. And said, okay, well, you know, very little odds under normal conditions. When I lend now a total of $100 based on that $10 deposit, that's more money that I create out of thin air. Well, gee, that means that in order to pay off, whoever gets that money has to make more money still to feed in at the bottom to pay the bank so that the bank can create still more money. You know, I think it's probably pretty safe at this point in time with the collapse of the U.S. economy to say that pretty much everybody is understanding how compound interest works. The higher the interest rate on your credit card, for those people who had, 20, 25% cards, that means they're creating that much more money if they don't pay cash every month. What I have just described is a pyramid scheme. We live in an infinite growth paradigm, which requires growth forever. It's not that Bernie Madoff was a pyramid scheme or Stanford was a pyramid scheme. The whole economy is a pyramid scheme. The whole global economy cannot be sustained. It requires infinite growth. But infinite growth collides with finite energy. First law of thermodynamics, energy can neither be created nor destroyed. The second law, energy converts in only one direction, from usable to unusable. That's called the law of entropy. Things break down, and in every energy transaction, some energy is always lost. So you have finite energy, and you have a financial paradigm which demands infinite growth, and we are at the point of human history where the infinite growth paradigm collides with something that is more powerful than money is. By 2006, I knew that the collapse was very imminent, that there would be a major implosion of the U.S. economy. I actually missed it by about a year, maybe a little bit more. I thought it was going to happen sooner, but it happened. And now that it is happening, these pieces are falling exactly as if everything else we had written, said, done, all the peak oil activists, all the sustainability advocates, our map was proving deadly accurate. things don't break up, they break down. When a government collapses, what happens? The mail stops getting delivered. Air traffic controllers don't get paid, so they don't go to work, which means planes don't fly. Bridges and highway inspections don't get made. Food and Drug Administration inspections don't get made. Maintenance is going to be defrayed. Law enforcement stops working. I mean, it's no secret now. You see the headlines every day. California's bankrupt, Michigan's bankrupt, Ohio's. They're shutting down services left and right. There are tent cities springing up all over the country. There are homeless, displaced people. A great many billionaires, who we would call the elites, a great many very, very wealthy people, are getting crashed, burned, and eaten alive. What you don't hear is the fact that all over the world, economies are collapsing much faster than the U.S. economy. Britain is an absolute basket case. There is a curtain of despair descending across Eastern Europe. There's a revolution underway in Greece. It's not riots, it's not civil unrest, it's a revolution. Drug violence right across the border in Mexico. This is all part of the collapse. Pakistan, Afghanistan, there's lots of violence. The people who have run the planet to this point and who are running the planet now are losing control.
You're all listening to 4ZZZ, the end of the show. You just heard a clip from Michael Rupert in the documentary Collapse, talking about the monetary system and the collapse of the financial markets and eventually the collapse of civilization. And we wanted to not be too negative today and to kind of give some hope. There's a clip that we didn't get to play, which is Michael Rupert talking about how he takes his dog for a walk and he counts the number of smiles he can get when he's taking his dog for a walk, and it's those sort of small things.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna try that next time I take my dog for a walk.
Yeah. And saying hello to people and building community, listening to great music.
Supporting your local community radio station.
Huzzah! Imagine coming full circle around to supporting 4ZZZ. And you can check out the 4ZZZ website, 4ZZZFM.org.au. Thanks very much for listening to today's show. You can hear Michael Rupert's show, The Lifeboat Hour, at The Lifeboat Hour on Podbean. And there's heaps of information on the internet about Michael Rupert. Also, Guy McPherson, who we spoke about, and John Trudell as well.
You've been listening to Autonomous Action Radio on Zed Digital. For more information about the show, you can go to autonomousactionradio.com or 4ZZZFM.org.au.
For drug offenses. Does the state really care about your own misguided will? No. They're protecting the profits of the pharmaceutical and tobacco corporations. And you must suffer for the oligopoly of the few.